This is our number 2.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Just got a text message here from the 360. Nothing more than misinformation and half-truths. Talking about me. Consistent with your owner, Sinclair. Honestly, I don't know how Ursula tolerates your BS. And if it were any other owner, you'd be on the streets. You know what? You're right. You should stop listening to the Sinclair station. Try the Bonneville stations in town. I hear they are far superior. So try Bonneville. And
was there a particular story this person is referring to?
I have no idea. But yeah, you're right. Try the Bonneville stations. You'll be happy from now on. You don't have to listen to me anymore. The thing I take solace in, the people who disagree with me tend to be morons. The people who agree with me tend to be among the brightest among us.
Okay, please. Dory, what? It's okay to disagree and you don't have to call someone a moron. And in fact, there are times. I will disagree with you, okay? And please don't text in and say, yeah, you're a moron. It's okay to disagree.
No, all I'm saying, I'm pointing out that the people who disagree type things that show that they are kind of dim-witted. Okay? That would be proof, that text that I just read. Slightly dim-witted. Maybe not. Okay, how about that? I won't call them morons. Dim-witted and slothful of mind. That's what I'll do from now on.
How about they just disagree with you?
Well, but no, that's a dim-witted comment. That's not a disagreement. That's just somebody who doesn't even know what they're listening to. So
yeah, we're not owned by Sinclair, just in case anyone was wondering.
What? You're kidding me. Why am I driving people to other stations? So yesterday I opened the show, and my big beef, which I think you wildly misinterpreted, because I was talking about the Jeff Bezos divorce. And I said the thing that bugged me about all the coverage yesterday morning was they were all the focus was, how much is she going to get? That was all I heard. And it appears she's going to get half because Washington's a community property state.
Even that, I don't understand why you had such an issue, because, of course, that's a question. He's the richest man in the world.
Not anymore.
Not exactly. Well, she's now going to be the richest woman.
Yes. Because what I said yesterday was my whole focus was they have four children, 13 to 18 years old. And to me, that's a far bigger part of the story. And I'm probably wrong in that, in what people are interested in. I don't understand a guy cheating on and doing that to your kids, doing that to the
sadly that happens so often.
I know it does. But so that's just where my head was yesterday.
And it goes both ways. I'm not trying to say it only happens. It happens to, women doing that to men as well.
Right. But that's where my head was. I just, all I thought about was those poor kids. I mean, they're not poor in the financial sense, but it screws a kid up. And
but
I just
if it could really be amicable, and they were trying to paint it as very amicable, and if it could be amicable, and you realize, you know what, it's just not working, and it's almost more damaging for the kids if we stay together.
I suppose.
I mean, it happens in many families where people stay together for the sake of the kids, and actually they've hurt the kids.
Yeah. And so that was my deal yesterday. But now today, I have some stuff to talk about with this whole Bezos thing.
Which I was giving you such a bad time about.
Because, first of all, we now know who he was cheating with. And he and his wife,
according to National Enquirer and TMZ.
The National Enquirer is great at this type of story.
Yeah, when John Edwards.
They busted John Edwards. A lot of people forget this. John Edwards was the favorite to win the Democratic presidential nomination until he dared the media to follow me along. And then the Inquirer, do you remember that video? They found him in the hotel. He went to meet the woman, and they had video of him running away from them.
I mean, they were literally chasing him.
Well, the National Enquirer claims that it had a four-month-long investigation of Bezos, that they would follow him in private planes while he was with this Lauren Sanchez, who she was the host of So You Think You Can Dance.
And she also hosted Fox LA, I think. Yeah.
And her husband was one of the most powerful agents in Hollywood. So
still is.
Very, yeah, but I think they're split now too.
Now they are, so they're separate. Yeah.
So, but the Inquirer says that for the past 8 months, the hot-blooded founder of online retail giant Amazon.
Now you had an issue with me, and I'm going to say me because you had an issue with me reporting that hey, they're going to have to split the money.
But no, I wasn't I hadn't even heard any of your newscasts. Oh,
I mean, you almost said verbatim what I said in one of my newscasts.
But I hadn't heard it because I'd heard that on network news yesterday. But there's something that just fascinates me here. The hot-blooded founder of online retail giant Amazon has two-timed novelist wife Mackenzie with busty beauty Lauren Sanchez. And they say during a blockbuster four-month investigation, the Inquirer tracked Bezos, who turns 55 on January 12th, and secret lover Sanchez across five states and 40,000 miles, tailed them in private jets, swanky limos, helicopter rides, romantic hikes, five-star hotel hideaways, intimate dinner dates, and quality time in hidden love nests. And they have all these photos of the two of them. The richest man in the world cannot out-secure the National Enquirer? That's unbelievable.
It is mind-boggling. But was he like
because
just
even
so
if they
smitten
paid for it? I bet if they said, "Hey, I'm going to take this to National Enquirer," I bet he could outpay them. Whoever it was that leaked.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, what kind of secure? I would think Jeff Bezos would have the greatest security team on the planet.
It probably just proves that everybody can be bought. He probably has a very trustworthy person in his circle, and that person got bought.
Or he just took absolutely no precautions because he was, you know,
because
into
he was
her.
The hot-blooded founder of online retail giant
Amazon. I mean,
people
kind of go nuts. Think about the president, Clinton, others who've done this and have been very reckless, really.
Yeah, but
on the other hand, apparently they were already separated.
Yeah, but they were separated because of the affair. Apparently, it sounds sequentially like she found out about his affair, but they got text messages. They claim that he sent to her. How did the National Enquirer get text messages from the richest man in the world, and why would the richest man in the world, who would be a little tech savvy, I would think, why would he put anything in a text message? My text messages are like tapioca pudding. They're so bland. I would never say anything in a text message to anybody.
Do we have any doubt that these text messages are real?
The National Enquirer's track record in stories like this is really good.
And there's been no dispute against mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
I will say my reaction to those text messages was kind of ill.
Here are some of Jeff Bezos's steamy text messages to the TV anchor.
Oh, we're getting dirty now.
No.
I know. Look, and all I wanted to do was report that they were going to be splitting their money.
In one of them, he wrote, "I want to smell you."
So some people smell good.
Who's going to put that in a text message? I want to smell you.
He wasn't near enough to her to smell her, so he sent a text.
Here's another one. "I want to breathe you in."
Because he really likes her smell.
Yeah, he's very olfactory, it sounds to me. He told Lauren Sanchez, among other things, "I love you, alive girl."
Alive girl?
Alive girl. Yeah. She's still fogging a mirror, apparently.
This feels horrible.
What?
Makes him feel alive. Because it's just like, this just shouldn't be.
That's why I'm so incredulous about this. The richest man in the world.
Hey, you were worried about the kids yesterday. This is the kind of stuff, though. Yes. This is the kind of stuff that makes it ew.
That even Bezos doesn't have a security network.
I love you, alive girl. I will show you with my body and my lips and my eyes very soon.
Well.
I'm dumping my Prime membership.
Put him in. It's not Anthony Weiner text. Those are just, he's trying to make her feel good.
I love it, Nicole.
Oh, man.
Precious.
But you understand my incredulity.
Yes, that part
his
I understand.
Security was so horrible that the National Enquirer was able to outfox Jeff Bezos.
I think it's one of those situations where they just didn't even consider it being a thing that somebody was going to get into or look at or care about.
When you're the richest man in the world.
I know. And you're underestimating people's evilness.
Wow. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, is in some hot water. Okay, Andrew Cuomo, I think, is a horrible governor. But this is the stupidest controversy. Everything, every word that everybody says is made into some made-up controversy. And the thing about this is, if you don't like Andrew Cuomo's policies, there are plenty of stuff that you can criticize. So he was doing a little press availability. And the camera crews just crushed in on him. And they had those microphones from the little booms. They touched him with the microphone. And Andrew Cuomo simply said this.
I'll bring you all up on charges under the Me Too movement.
He's now had to explain making light of the Me Too movement because microphones touched him. In a radio interview, the interviewer said, "You made a Me Too joke that's all over the press today, in which you said, I'll have to report you to Me Too. Was that a mistake?" And he said, "I think it was an offhand comment. I walked out into the hallway and I was assaulted by a gaggle and pieces of equipment hitting me and all sorts of my anatomy. It was offhand comment. You said all parts of my anatomy. Any further on that?" What a stupid controversy. Can we please stop making every offhand comment in the world?
And I'm sorry, that is not the first Me Too joke that I've heard.
No, it's ridiculous. Next up in the Fastest 15, remember the meteorologist that we talked about in Rochester, New York? He says that he simply slurred two words together, Martin Luther King Jr., and the King Jr. came out.
Gray, this is the way it looked out at Martin Luther King Jr. Park. Yeah, I agree.
Al Roker has now come to the defense because that guy was fired for saying, inadvertently, he says, a racial slur. And Al Roker, he says that somebody else should give the weatherman a chance, which is what you were predicting,
yes.
Ursula.
Yes, because it was any one of us who works in this field could understand how that could happen. We make slip-ups all the time.
Roker on Twitter said, "I think Jeremy Kappel made an unfortunate flub and should be given the chance to apologize on NBC News 10. Anyone who's done live TV and screwed up, Google any number of ones I've done, understands." So then the television station issued a clarification of the firing of the guy.
Oh, boy.
This is one of the most infuriating things I've heard from a boss, a media employer. The entire team at Hubbard Broadcasting and News 10 NBC stand behind the decision we made on Sunday afternoon to terminate our contract with meteorologist Jeremy Kappel. During the previous Friday night's broadcast, Mr. Kappel clearly voiced a racially derogatory term. An utterance such as this, with no immediate apology, regardless of intent, is unacceptable and inexcusable. Regardless of intent, they fire a guy. This guy had been building a career for 20 years as a meteorologist, and they fire him regardless of intent, suggests to me that their investigation yielded that he had no intent. I mean, they said they did a Sunday investigation.
But you know why this statement's coming out now. You know what this is.
Well, it's, because he's going to sue them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's going to be, this is a CYA.
But to fire somebody for a slip of the tongue, and you wouldn't say regardless of intent. You'd say, we talked to coworkers who say they've heard him say that stuff in private or in joke. They don't have that on. So they put in regardless of intent, which means that they did an investigation. They found nothing. He's a good guy. He's a Christian guy. He's a family man. He was a pillar of the community in his church. And regardless of intent, you get fired. And that's despicable. Do we have any Hubbard stations here?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Radio?
Mm-hmm.
There aren't any Hubbard TV, I don't think.
Hubbard?
I'm going to boycott them because of this meteorologist firing. I probably don't listen to them anyway. Okay, let's see. Finally, oh, man. You know, we're the first ones to break this news years and years ago. We've been tracking it for many years, and it's happened again. The conspiracy to somehow surreptitiously kill the oldest person in the country. It's happened again, as I predicted when she was named the oldest person in the United States a few months ago on this show. I said she's got a target on her back, and indeed, 114-year-old Ohio woman, Leslie Brown, has now died. And they all say that's natural circumstances, but I know better. I've been covering this for years and years. I know that there is, for some reason, some wild conspiracy against the oldest person in the country, and that's why they keep getting off. I haven't found out who's doing it yet, but when I do, you'll be the first to know. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, that Q13 controversy, they had to fire an editor. It was our colleague, Todd Herman, who broke that story. I'm going to find out how next on the Dory Monson Show. If you were listening to the beginning of our show 90 minutes ago, the big lead, we told you about an incident at Q13 News. And I'm going to repeat now what I said at the beginning of the show. I think Q13 does a terrific job. And I really mean that with news. Brandi Cruz, David Rose, they are friends of mine. I have a lot of respect for their reporters, and I think they do a really good job of covering local news. And so I don't want this incident to be a reflection on their entire news operation. But what happened, it's so unbelievable, and it's my friend and colleague Todd Herman at KTTH who broke this story. There's a video of Donald Trump's Oval Office address from a couple of nights ago. Q13 put it in a promo. And in that video, Donald Trump is several shades orangier. And there's a moment in the actual video where the president kind of licks his lips for maybe a quarter second. And the editor at Q13 made it look like Trump was dementedly lizard-like, sticking his tongue out of his mouth repeatedly. And that's what went on their air. So I invited Todd Herman in here to join me live because, first of all, nice job breaking the story.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Do I look sufficiently orange? I looked at that, said I could get oranger. Yeah, it was shocking.
How'd you get this story?
A listener named Jeff saw it. So he was watching TV, and he saw a promo run. and it just looked bizarre to him. So the next time it ran, Jeff's in law enforcement, so he's trained, I guess, to go seek the evidence. He pointed a smartphone at the TV and sent it our way, and we looked at it. Then I sent it to our videographers, and they were stunned. Like, I can't believe someone thought they'd get away with this. Dory, I think, and I've now had three videographers come at me saying they also made the president's head bigger. If you look at it, not only is he 15 shades more orangey, his head is about 12% bigger than it should be. And that's how we got it.
And they distorted his mouth as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, his mouth looks larger. His tongue looks larger. It's bizarre. And it is really creepy looking in the video. So we contacted Q13, and right away they said they'd look into it.
Yeah, and you contact them yesterday. Yeah. Their news director, Erica Hill, sent out a statement yesterday that said, "This does not meet our editorial standards, and we regret it if it is seen as portraying the president in a negative light." And then this morning, I was sitting there when your producer got an updated statement from the news director there. And in it, she said, "We've completed our investigation into this incident and determined that the actions were the result of an individual editor whose employment has been terminated." So this reinforces all the nice things that I said about Q13, because they acted quickly and very decisively. They fired the guy who did this.
Yeah, look, I'll echo what you say about Q13. I turn to them a lot. I give a lot of attribution. They do a lot of investigative work. I think that they're a valuable resource for our community. Yeah. I'm thrilled that they acted quickly. This person deserves to be fired, deserves the black mark on their career. And at the same time, I've been fired, and it's no fun. And I've had to fire very dear friends. It's no fun. So I pray the person, you know, lands on their feet. But there's got to be some self-reflection, Dory. You're going to put this on a TV station, and don't tell me this person didn't, you know, send their friends private messages saying, "Oh, you got to see what I did to Trump. It's going to run in these promos. You won't believe it." And I wonder how many other people knew that it had been doctored this way and were sort of giggling in the background about this. Yeah, is it worth your career?
Well, and that's what I think is the main point here, is that somebody had such a deep personal hatred of the president, they were willing to risk their career over that. And not just risk, but almost certainly destroy their career. That's how distorted their judgment was by their personal hatred. And what I said is, while this is not a reflection on Q13, I guarantee you that there are people like that at pretty much every TV, radio, newspaper, stock brokerage. I mean, every industry. It's not just media. But there are so many people whose personal hatred of this president is so great. And if people don't think that that impacts and influences how news is being presented these days, they're insane. They're absolutely insane.
I got a note from a listener who didn't want to give me the name of the financial institution. It's a bank. It's just a bank where you go deposit your paycheck. And there's a guy who comes in weekly, deposits a paycheck, and he'd seen a Make America Great Again sticker on his car. And one of his colleagues joked, "Hey, what if I should hold on to the paycheck? What if I should fail to deposit this?" So it does cross these industries. Back in the day when I had a startup called Spin Spotter, I left that and I went to the Republican National Committee. There was a guy who took my picture for the for NPR, an NPR piece and a New York Times piece. When he learned I was a conservative Republican, I was going to go to the RNC, he found a picture of me that's the most embarrassing, god-awful, evil-looking picture in the world. Sure. He sent it to the press, and I had to contact the guy and say, "Dude, you took a picture for a specific client. You were paid to do that. You don't get to do this." And it was to embarrass me and nobody. I'm a nobody.
And I'd argue that both sides probably do that. I think that, you know, people would show unflattering pictures of Hillary and all of that. I'm just saying that with Donald Trump, it is 1,000 times greater than I've ever witnessed in my life or any president of any party. So this story has blown up now. The one unfortunate part is I think Q13 is going to get blamed for the actions of a moron former employee. And that's unfortunate for them because, you know, as I said, I think they do a good job there.
No, look, let me make this very, very clear. They fired the guy or the person. Okay, so for my conservative brothers and sisters, oh, well, it's the media's. They're very, yeah, there's a liberal slant. They hate Trump. It's a derangement syndrome with this president. It truly is. There's people deranged. What else do you want? The person's gone. What else are we going to do? Now, I hope, Dory, that the person learns a lesson, Right? Now, let me ask, what do you think the chances are that the person's out there saying, you know, I've really learned a valuable lesson today, and I want to thank Todd Herman and Dory for bringing more attention to this, and I've done some soul searching, and this is overboard.
I've gotten dozens of text messages since my big lead at noon from people who predict that he'll land on his feet at CNN.
Well, I could think of a certain earth-hating newspaper, because it's still on paper, handed out at kind of downscale coffee shops, etc., where they might be actively trying to find the person and recruit him.
So another one bites the dust because their hatred of the prez trumped their judgment. So good for Q13 for getting rid of the guy so fast, and good for you for breaking the story.
Can I tell people where they can get the article?
Yeah.
Can I do that? All right. If you want to see the video side by side, the straight video and the doctored video on Q13, text my name, Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770, and we'll send you a link to that. And Dory, thank you for having me on the air.
Yeah, nice job. Yeah. Good story. Great story. Okay, Todd Herman, you can hear him afternoons, 3 to 6, KTTH. Lots more straight ahead. The Dory Monson Show marches on. Yesterday, I promised an update because we got the story from our Carolyn Osorio that the city of Seattle had sent out crews to clean up one of the homeless encampments next to I-5 near Northgate. And there were a couple of police cars, a huge dump truck, a Seattle DOT. It was a massive operation that jammed up traffic. They did a similar one last week, where Lake City merges onto I-5, because I drove by it while they were doing that cleanup and almost got in an accident because the car in front of me, two cars in front of me, stopped in a wide open lane to look at the cleanup operation. It's very dangerous. And then I'm driving home yesterday, and maybe you're out on I-5 right now. Maybe you're driving north. I'm sure some of you are, and you're about to go through the U District. Just look on the east side of I-5, right past 50th Northeast. At least yesterday, it was just the hillside covered with trash. And what Carolyn reported, because we had sound bites with the homeless people that were being displaced, the city for weeks has been going to them saying, we're going to clean it up. We're going to bring out a dump truck on January 9th, and we're going to clear out everything. But we'll give you any assistance you need. You need shelter. You need drug counseling. You need anything. We'll provide you services. Not one person in the encampment accepted any of those offers. And this is one of the great lies of the homeless industrial complex around here that continually says, we need more money. All we need is more money so we can build more housing. No, no, no. That is not for the homeless, because the homeless are choosing, through the saddest of reasons, through their own, you know, mental dementia, addled by drugs. Many of them are just mentally ill. And they would rather live a life of crime and heroin and sleeping under a blue tarp than to actually get some help. And so we can spend as much money as we want. And it's not going to change that as long as we have policies, as long as we have the greatest attractant for drug vagrants in the United States, here in our region. And that is that you can shoot up in public. You will not be prosecuted for having personal possession amounts of any drug. And this is known across the country as the most drug-friendly place. To get help, you have to hit rock bottom. And here we are spending $1 billion a year. $1 billion a year on homelessness, according to the Puget Sound Business Journal in Seattle and King County. And our politicians tell us that all they need is more money. They need more than a billion. We spend more per homeless person than any city in the United States, about $100,000 per person. And I got some feedback from listeners when I gave that figure yesterday. But here's what Carolyn reported about the Northgate Camp cleanup yesterday.
Have not accepted shelter or services that you guys...
I missed the beginning of that.
Majority of them have not accepted shelter or services that you guys have offered.
Yeah, and we do have some pretty good options. Today we have spots at the Navigation Center, at Lake Union Village, First Presbyterian. Those are all 24/7 shelters. We also have spots within the City Hall shelters, and then also our partners like UGM, they have availability too. So everyone here, if they want to go inside today, they could.
Is that, like, depressing to you that they're not taking up any of the services because they're probably just going to go somewhere else?
We're in the middle of a crisis here, and a part of that crisis is that a lot of these individuals are in their own personal crisis, and so the reasons why they don't take up shelter can be a myriad of those, and what we try to do is try to remove as many of those obstacles as possible and make those offers as attractive, but a lot of these individuals are coming from a lot of different backgrounds and have a lot of different reasons why they don't want to go inside. It's a very complicated issue. But what the city can do is ensure that we maintain public safety and public health by removing these larger encampments that pose those concerns. And this is one of those.
So that's Will Lemke with the City of Seattle talking to Carolyn yesterday. So again, the Puget Sound Business Journal. We are spending $1.06 billion a year in Seattle and King County on about 12,000 people living in the streets. That works out to nearly $100,000 per person. I had a listener who texted, I don't remember if it was a text or an email yesterday, and he said, Dory, I make $70,000 a year and support my family of four. You and I, the tax, we're spending $400,000 a year on a group of four of homeless people. And they don't want help. They don't want shelter. They want to live a life on the streets. So where's all this money going? Builders, developers. We'll build the low-income housing, but people don't want it. But we'll build it. We'll get lots of tax money to build it. The homeless industrial complex. The people with these bogus agencies who make $180,000 a year managing this crisis and doing a bang-up job of it, too. Doesn't matter how much we spend, the problem will continue to get worse as long as we have the laws that we have and the politicians we have in this region. Big Lead at 2 is coming up next.